Good morning. It sounds like I'm on. Wow. This morning we want to talk about the Holy Spirit leading world missions. As I was preparing this topic, I found out that that is a huge topic. If you look closely at the New Testament, the Holy Spirit leading world missions starts in the very first chapter of Acts and continues through every part of the New Testament all the way up to the revelation of John. It is all about the Holy Spirit leading world missions. But don't worry, we're not going to be talking about the entire New Testament this morning. Are we up? Oh, I have a little clicker. Hang on. Let me try one more time. Ah! You'll also notice I'm quite technically illiterate up here. The Holy Spirit acts in two general ways in world missions. He acts to empower the senders, the missionaries, the international workers, and those who support these missionaries who go out to the world to spread the gospel. Also, the Holy Spirit acts to open the hearts and minds of the people who are receiving the message of the gospel. This morning, we will concentrate on the teaching of the Holy Spirit acting to send out people from the church to the unbelieving world. And our main Bible truth is the Holy Spirit leads world missions. The Holy Spirit leads world missions. Pastor Kurt has already introduced Acts 1:8. That is one of our theme verses. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. In this verse, this at the time that Christ has been resurrected in his physical body and he's still on earth, and he gives this direction to his 11 apostles. And through this direction, Jesus also gives us this same direction. We, believers, are to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. But notice, this command cannot, will not, must not take place until after something happens. And that is after we receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Not before, it's after believers receive the power of the Holy Spirit. The command to the world missions cannot be accomplished in our own physical or mental power. It must be accomplished by the power of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads world missions. Our next scripture tells us it's the Holy Spirit who calls missionaries to world missions. The Bible does not record the method or the mechanism that the Holy Spirit used to call missionaries, only that specific individuals were called after worship and fasting. Great! I'm happy this morning. Acts 13:2, this is an account of the very first missionaries that were sent out. And it's a group of believers, a church, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them." Now, such a calling can be quite subjective, however. I, in my life, the calling was rather swift and powerful. With our technology today, where we can get text messages and printed word, the Holy Spirit doesn't act like that. But it has been my experience that when the Holy Spirit calls you, you don't need to push, you don't need to shove, you need to hold on tightly as the Holy Spirit takes you off your feet, because events move very, very rapidly. When the Holy Spirit calls, you will know it. You will know it. Don't ask me exactly how that happens, but it most certainly does. And again, the Holy Spirit will pull you and push you and drag you by your ears into ministry, calling of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit leads world missions. Our next scripture comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome. It shows the great missionary Paul recognized that the power for his mission was from the Holy Spirit, not from him. Believers should always understand the truth. It's not through our own power, our wisdom, our strength, our intelligence, that this belongs to the Holy Spirit. Hello. Oh, okay. There it is. Romans 15. Through the power of the Spirit from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I, that's Paul, have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. Notice in this scripture, this is not Paul's power. It was the power of the Holy Spirit, not Paul's power. Drew and I served as missionaries in East Africa for over 20 years, training pastors how to understand and teach scriptures. During those years, we lived in remote villages that have a distinctively different culture to our American culture. We were able to observe our culture from the outside through the lens of a poor third world countries. Here in our country, we very much admire assertive and powerful individuals who get the job done, who lead others, who are the boss, and who are the commander. That's who we admire. That's who we look to. There's a very famous and popular poem and a song that tend to display this type of individual. The poem is entitled Invictus, and you may have heard of that. It's translated in English as "I am the conqueror." The refrain of every verse in the poem is, "I am the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul." You may have heard that. This refrain has been quoted by powerful individuals, many powerful individuals, including Winston Churchill, Nelson Mandela, President Barack Obama. They all have quoted this line. I'm the master of my fate, and I am the captain of my soul. The song was by Frank Sinatra. Some of your older people might remember Frank Sinatra. And the end of each chorus, he said, and I'm not going to sing it, he said, I did it my way. I did it my way. We should admit that in America, we often admire leaders who display these characteristics. But is this correct? Does this honor Jesus? What does Scripture tell us? In Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, we read what is the exact opposite. He's reminding the Corinthian believers of who is the leader of world missions. It was not Paul and his speaking ability. It was the power of the Holy Spirit. Did we get it? Okay, there we go. David reviewed this scripture in our Sunday school lesson this morning, and I think maybe the Holy Spirit was operating there too. 1 Corinthians 2:4, my, that's Paul's message, and my preaching were not with wise or pervasive. Thank you. But with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. At times as a missionary, I have observed people who are very poor speakers, and they use very bad grammar. They don't know how to organize a presentation. They would fail public speaking 101. But they have a great impact on those who hear the message. As with Paul, it is not our wise words, but it is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit leads world missions. There's even a more emphatic passage as we read our next scripture. It's in Paul's second letter to the church in Corinth. You'll notice I am not perfect. That is 2 Corinthians, not just Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And this will give us a deeper and somewhat surprising insight into the most important missionary of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 10:10. For some say his, Paul's letters are weighty and forceful. But in person, he is unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. Here we understand that Paul, the great missionary, perhaps the greatest missionary, is characterized by words such as unimpressive and nothing. Clearly, Paul's great benefit to the early Christian church was based on the power and leadership of the Holy Spirit and not on Paul's speaking ability. Imagine this. Imagine attending an important lecture or a big meeting where there's a lead speaker coming and everybody's coming to hear the lead speaker and he's introduced. Here's this person coming up. He's unimpressive, and his speaking amounts to nothing. How would you like to be introduced that way, Pastor? This was Paul. But the Holy Spirit leads world missions. The next scripture is also from the Acts of the Apostles. Come on. There we go. Okay. Wait a minute. I went too far. Hello? Micah, can you back that up? There we go. One more. Thank you. I'll give up on this. The next scripture, also from the Acts of the Apostles, shows the Holy Spirit often leads through open ministry doors, but he can also close doors. Acts 16:6, Paul and his companions traveling through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. Now to the next one. Thank you. It continues, Acts 16:7-8. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. I have to take a little geography lesson there. I'm sure everybody knows exactly where these places are. This is in central Turkey. Surprisingly, at that time, the country we call Turkey today was the center of Christianity. And it's not that way anymore. The Bible does not tell us how the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and his companions from entering these provinces. We do not know the why, but we trust that the Holy Spirit was acting in the best way to promote the spread of the gospel. I have found that during my term in East Africa, the Holy Spirit does close doors at times. And when he closes the door, it's very clear and obvious that the answer is no. We call those door slams, when the Holy Spirit slams that door closed. At such times, I need to believe that although my plan and my idea was to do a certain thing or travel to a certain place, the Holy Spirit had other and better plans for my ministry. The Holy Spirit leads world missions, not me. On the other hand, personal note, I was the one that very often said no to the Holy Spirit. Many times, the Holy Spirit threw people in East Africa, wanted me and Drew to do certain things. And my first response was, no, I'm not qualified. I can't do that. No, I don't have that education. I'm the wrong person. No, I don't want to go there. It's dangerous. No, I want to stay where there's electricity and water. I don't want to go there. And almost immediately after Mr. Bonehead himself, me, said no, that's exactly what we did. Exactly what we did. And the Holy Spirit leads us. I'd like to look at some scriptures that won't be on the screen, and this is in the book of Acts. Let me preface this by repeating, this is a Christian Missionary Alliance statement of faith. It says, the Old and New Testament, inerrant as originally given. I believe that strongly. I believe the Bible is inerrant as it was delivered to us. Not that I understand it all. I don't. But my lack of understanding does not affect its inerrancy. And this is an account of Paul toward the end of his ministry as he was in Asia, the country that we call Turkey today, and he was going to Jerusalem. Acts 20, verses 22 and 23. Paul says, I am going to Jerusalem bound in the Spirit, not knowing what shall befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and persecution awaits me. So Paul says, I'm bound in the Spirit, going to Jerusalem, where I will be imprisoned and persecuted. While he was talking to the people in chapter 21, it says, the people that Paul was talking to, through the Spirit, they told Paul not to go to Jerusalem. And then later on in verses 11, a prophet took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns these and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. So we have what could appear to be a contradiction. Did the Holy Spirit tell Paul to go? Or did the Holy Spirit tell him not to go? My interpretation of that, understanding that this is inerrant, and God, here's a big word, God the Holy Spirit is immutable. That means his nature does not change. God's not changing his mind like that. I believe what this is, the Holy Spirit gave the same message to both people. The Holy Spirit told Paul, you're going to Jerusalem, you're going to be in prison, you're going to be persecuted. It doesn't tell us exactly what Paul's response to that was, other than, I am going. I imagine he was not really jumping for joy and saying, oh, this is great. The same message came to the people where Paul was. Paul must go to Jerusalem where he will be imprisoned and persecuted. Their reaction to that message was different. The Holy Spirit gives us information, gives us calling. Sometimes our reaction is wrong. As my reaction to some of the callings we had in East Africa, where I said, no, that I can't do that. I can't do that. Drew was just talking, was it this morning or last night, that she was given the job of training women in Africa what it means to be a Christian woman in Africa. And she thought, I can't do that. But what did you do? Oh, yeah. She did that. We need to react to the Holy Spirit in a way that is within God's will, not my will. I mean, I wanted a comfortable, safe, easy job. And I didn't get that. The Holy Spirit leads world missions. Let's look at Paul's letter to the church in Rome, where he requests prayer from the Romans for his mission work. Paul uses the concept of joining in his struggle with prayer. Do the next one. The next slide. There we go. Romans 15:30, Paul's letter to the church in Rome. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with me in my struggle by praying to God for me. I think we need to understand that this message, even though it was written specifically from Paul to the believers in the first century, that it's also the message for us today. Look again, we're going to bring this a little closer to home. In our pastor training, we always try to encourage the pastors when they're doing teaching on a certain subject, not to have the people think, well, that's for those people over there. That's for these people, not for me. This is for us. So the next slide, watch how it changes. I urge you, instead of brothers, I urge you, LAC believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with me in my struggle by praying to God for me. This is a message for every person, every believer in this room today. The next one, this is even bringing it closer. I urge you, LAC believers, and by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with the Eubanks in their struggle by praying to God for them. That brings us very close. The next one, here we have it again. I urge you, LAC believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, join with the Andersons, our partners, in their struggle by praying to God for them. And the next one. I urge you, LAC believers, and by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join with the Howards in their struggle by praying to God for them. This is how we bring it home. This is how the Holy Spirit leads world missions. Some people in this room today might actually go out to the ends of the earth, but probably not all of us. But we can be the senders, and this is how we unite, by sending. And here is a challenge. Through those double doors, there's a little table. And on that little table, Steve Jackson has put prayer requests for the missionaries who have been standing here and speaking, for the Andersons, the Brakes, the Eubanks, the Guilds, the Howards, the McCabes, and the Lean House. They have all been on this platform speaking to us. And these are prayer requests. I challenge you, don't leave this church without taking one of those. If there's only one left, go ahead and take it. Typically, we don't take the last. Take the last one. Put Steve Jackson to work with his photocopy machine. He needs to make more copies of this. This is exactly what Romans 15:30 says. I urge you, LAC believers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, join with the Andersons, the Brakes, the Eubanks, the Guilds, the Howards, the McCabes, the Leanhouts, in their struggle by praying to God for them. Will you do that? The second thing I want to show, this is actually for praying for those who are receiving. On the little table, there's a small wooden box with quite a few of these cards that show unreached people group. These should be in our daily prayer. My group this week is the Yemeni in Yemen and the Marego in Russia, 0% Christians. Again, empty that box. Empty it. You can take more than one. You can take more than two. please do that and join in the struggle for prayer. As we go on, I want to just point out our little offering envelopes, and it has the Great Commission Fund. Today is our Great Commission Fund Sunday, and we will be taking an offering for the Great Commission Fund. But beyond that, I can promise you that every Sunday, some people in this church are giving every Sunday to the Great Commission Fund, and that is great. This is one way of helping to send out around the world international workers, missionaries from our small denomination who are making impacts completely around the world. Pastor Kurt showed us this video, and it showed 54 new international workers. My brother is a retired pastor from the Presbyterian Church. They have completely pulled every single missionary from the field in that particular church. And they're much bigger than we are. I mean, as far as the Alliance, they're much bigger. And the Alliance is sending out 54. That is great. They're sent out through the Great Commission Fund. Pray with me, please. Father God, we do give you thanks that you have sent your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to lead world missions. We pray that you would use this church, each individual in this church, to pray for world missions and to support world missions through the Great Commissions Fund. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.